experience racing through a different set of goggles. With his unique look at the great game, it's time for Beer and Skittles with Mitchell Beer.
Thank you to Darren McCauley. Let's welcome in Mitchell Beer, fresh from his stint in Sydney over the weekend, where he didn't have the best of luck in the Kosciuszko, but he still had fun from all reports anyway. Hello to you, Mitch.
Morning, Hawley. And yeah, that's all that matters, fun.
Yep.
Race certainly wasn't, but everything else around it was fantastic.
You found us a new Chinese joint in Sydney, it sounds like. I'm looking forward to the 3-2-1 in the Beer of the Year because there's so much to devolve and look at over a wonderful weekend of racing. We've got a special Wattda this weekend. But I thought we'd get straight into our unsung hero because we love these type of stories. Now, Philip Roost is a manager to the superstars in the jockey ranks. But he'll play a little part in Saturday's 101st running of the great race, the Ladbrokes WS Cox Plate. And he joins us now for our special guest here on Beer and Skittles for our unsung hero segment, Philip Roost. Welcome to the show. It's a very good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen, and good afternoon, New Zealand viewers.
Yes, the Kiwis listening in, by the way. They love downloading the RSN 927 app these days. We upset them a little bit because of your horse last or yesterday. But, Philip, congratulations, because your story regarding getting into this Cox Plate runner, trained by John Barry, who has done a wonderful job with his horses over the years, and he went so close to winning a Cox Plate with Jimmy Shoe, and I know that Mitch has purchased a few Jimmy Shoes over the years as well, but call sign Mav, can he win a WS Cox Plate? How good is he?
He's a very good New Zealander, and when I do my form for this race over the years, you've got all different aspects of it, and the Kiwis, they hold a good part of this race, and you look back at Sunline and Bone Crusher and Our Poetic Prince. That was a trifecta that year in 1988.
Yep.
And anyway, he's probably not up to them, but you think of horses like Surface Paradise and the Phantom Chance and Solve It, and he's just that type of horse that he's drawn the barrier, he's got the right form lines, he comes over, and we're in it. We're in the great race. It's a small field this year. It's a select field, which the Cox Plate does bring up, but very happy to be there.
Well, Roosty, we're very envious. I think all of us are killed for a runner in the Cox Plate. But take us back, as a purveyor of online bloodstock myself, take us back to the story. It's not your traditional, went in from the yearling and been along from the start. So how did you get involved in him?
Well, it was by chance. My good friend Stephen Baster had not long retired as a jockey, and I think it's about 36% become available this horse online. And Steve said to me, "Do you want to go in?" And I said, "Yes, for sure." And we went through all the processes, and lucky enough to get involved.
So,
and I'd like to personally thank John Barry and Adam Nelson for the opportunity that they have given us.
So online, so how does that work for our listeners out there? So if you're interested in getting in a horse, you can go online and you can find horses to go into. So you don't have to buy them in full. Is that right, Roosty, that you can actually purchase shares of horses? And call sign Mav came up as one of the other owners wanted to get out.
I'm not sure of the exact details. You'd have to talk to John or Adam regarding that, but it was just Stephen found it, and I was just by chance on this occasion. Mitch would probably be a good one to speak to regarding all the digital online sales and all of that. But, I was just in the right spot at the right time this time.
I'm certainly not the one to speak to about buying a Cox Plate runner online, but if you're looking for an 8-start maiden that's had a throat operation, I'd be right up your alley. But it's an amazing story, and it's one that can really resonate, I think, with the Cox Plate. We see that the big names and the big owners, but we'll be cheering for you in respect that an everyday person have got a runner in a Cox Plate. But speaking of not just an everyday person, Roosty, you're a jockey manager to the stars. So how does, for the people at home, your job play out during the week from Monday morning when the nominations come out to getting the rides and the result on the weekend?
It's just constantly on the phone, constantly watching replays, constantly doing form and watching races. And that's a jockey manager's life. And, well, we're at home the whole time, although since COVID we've missed the opportunity to go to the actual races. Not that we go there that much, but since it's been taken away, we realise that. But so everyone who's been locked up in COVID, basically that's a jockey manager's life.
So how many jockeys are you managing at the moment, Philip?
I've got four going at the moment. Bo Mertens, Jack Hill, Melissa Julius and Josh Richards.
Geez, they were stiff not to get the ride then in the Cox Plate, weren't they?
Yeah, they were very stiff. I represented them well.
Just got outvoted, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I also got Ethan Brown as well, who's just having a little stint on the sidelines.
How is Ethan? Is
just
he okay?
Ethan is raring to go. He's riding lots of track work. He rode at Breakfast with the Stars this morning. He rode five there. So he'll be back in mid-December, and I'll have him raring to go. Can't wait for that.
Well, Roosty, anyone who deals with as many racehorse trainers as you have to deserves to win a Cox Plate, and I'll certainly be cheering you on the weekend.
Muchly appreciated. Thank you, guys.
Just one more question, Philip. So just regarding the Cox Plate runner, call sign Mav. So with Stevie Bastet, was he thinking of maybe making a comeback after he found a horse this good?
No. The ownership group, I think they were keen for him to think about it. But Stephen's doing very well in his next call of life. So he's just happy to be an owner in the horse. And
And when you got, I know we touched on this at the start of the interview, when did you realise, boy, we might have found one here?
Well, he actually won the Tarzino before he became available. And so he's a Group 1 winner. And we thought, oh, gee, this is a nice horse. And then he just, the form through Melody Bell and Avantage is, you know, that's top notch over there at this time. So, and he... That preparation we had, he virtually paid for himself, and then he went out and he's come back a two-time Group 1 winner, coming into a Cox Plate third up with nothing to lose. So, it's happy days.
And where does Saturday hold for you, Roosty? Where are you going to bunker down and embrace the day?
Well, I hope... I'll be at home in Mornington, but if they let us go at the 11th hour, I've got a little bit of a situation because there's a little bit of talk at owners. I'm not sure if there's any updates, latest updates, but if we did get the call at the 11th hour that we were allowed to go, I've got to go and get a suit because none of my suits fit me because I'm locked up.
We've all got that problem, Roosty.
No idea what you're talking about.
Just the last one before you let you go, and you don't have to ask this, but this is the great pub story that people will be talking about, this story, how Philip Roos and Stevie Bastet purchased a share in a Cox Plate runner. How much did the share cost you?
It was, let's say he's paid for himself.
All right, then. Work that out then, Beery.
Yeah.
Hopefully that can happen to us one day. Hey, we wish
spoken like a true racing manager, jockey agent, just sitting on the fence, just going to appease everyone.
Has Steve offered you a new house in Mornington?
He does every day.
Yeah.
And I might be ready for an upgrade soon, but I'm very happy with the house I'm in at the moment. So, he's doing a very good job. So,
Wouldn't knock the commission off, S. Bastet.
Wouldn't he? Yeah. Not even for his mate.
Wouldn't knock the commission off. He's got a fortune for a reason, that bloke.
Yeah. Hey, Philip Roos, thanks for joining us, mate. It's a terrific story. It's a story that we all wish that we could happen to us, like it's a dream. But I think you've just proven that everyone can have a little bit of hope about this beautiful game, that you could be flicking through the internet and you could find a Cox Plate runner. You just never know in this world that we live in.
That's right. You just got to keep turning up. And I've been involved nearly all my life, and this is a dream come true. So hopefully, it's a good result on Saturday.
Love it. Good luck, mate.
Good on you, mate.
Thank you.
Philip Roos. That is a terrific story, Mitch.
I keep finding them.
Paulie. You do, don't you? Unbelievable. These are the stories that make racing so
great.
They're
all out. They're out there.
Yeah, there's hundreds of them. Let's go to the beer of the year. You're 3-2-1, Mitch.
Going back to Wednesday, Jordan Childs on Rhinoceros. Rhinoceros has got a mention on here a few times, but brilliant ride. You know, it wasn't in one of the main races, but as good a front-running ride as you'll see throughout the carnival. The ride won the race, and it was terrific. He doesn't get huge amount of opportunities, I think due to weight-wise, Geordie, but God, he's a gun rider. 2 points we're going to go. I only have to find two subjects each week because Incentivize, you can just put him down for a couple of points no matter what. Incredible again. Scary how good he was on the weekend. And for 3 points, Annabelle Neesham. I think the way that she handled the Zaki defeat, didn't throw anyone under the bus, didn't blame, copped it on the chin, rolled forward and concentrated on his big assignment, which is the Cox Plate. And then to have two runners in the Cox Plate for the amount of time she's been training is just awesome. And I thought it was very, very great to see. Everyone's a good winner.
Correct. She's done that. Do you know what? I totally agree with you. She's been excellent with the media, Annabelle Neesham. Every time that we've called her up or any of the other media outlets want to have a chat to her, she picks up the phone. She answers the tough questions. She understands that racing is a game that you have to be able to help out the punters and be transparent. And she's been excellent. And she's going to be a trainer that's going to have a wonderful career. But already she's showing what a wonderful ambassador she will be for the sport of thoroughbred racing.
Most definitely. I mean, it would have been so easy to bury your head in the sand and, you know, to have him go under. But gave an in-depth interview of her reasons behind it, how the horse had come through, what they were going to go do next. And I thought it was terrific to see. And, you know, you judge people on their defeats and not their wins. And she is a Group 1 star.
Now, if this is okay with you, Mitch, I've brought someone into this studio for the What The this week.
This was not on the script, yes. Paulie. I'm very nervous.
Maddie Stewart has arrived.
Oh, no.
I'm nervous too because I've heard about Mitch, but I've had very little to do with him socially. So.
Hey, because we should have asked. I'm kicking myself. Philip Roos, we forgot to ask him this question because, Matty, you can explain the what the.
Are we talking about the Danny O'Brien incident?
Yes.
Michael Falgate mayonnaised it a tad by saying that the horse involved in the incident was the Cox Plate horse,
Cool Side Mav.
In fact, it wasn't. There was an incident down at... picture yourself as Danny O'Brien, Mitch. This is the starting point, okay?
I often do, Matty.
So... last Saturday week, down at the track, the horses are going up and down Barwon Heads Beach. The ocean was a tad choppy that day. I don't know why I threw that in, but you just need the imagery.
You're not putting any mayonnaise on this.
The ocean was angry that day, my friend. So the horses are going up and down the beach, and then a random dog charges up the beach and starts yapping at the heels of one of the horses, who becomes spooked, dislodges the jockey, and then the horse bolts into the ocean through the breakers and just starts taking off out to sea. Danny O'Brien, in 8 layers of wintry clothing, including some very expensive jacketing, which you trainers never pay for because it's always gifted to you anyway. Mm-hmm. So he jumps into the ocean and swims through the breakers, maybe with the assistance of others. I'm not sure just how heroic this is, whether it was a solo mission, but the horse is retrieved and comes back to scale, comes back to the beach. And, you know, O'Brien goes through his pockets to look for the keys for his Lexus, which is parked in the beach car park, and can't find them anywhere, and realises that they've dropped into the ocean about 50 metres out. He had a spare set in Melbourne, but it takes quite some time to get reorganised. The car stays in the car park for a very long period of time. And then some random is walking up the beach. And what happens with the ocean, Mitch? I know you don't know because you live on a river. The ocean pushes things in and out. So the ocean pushed the keys.
No,
the
it didn't.
Pushed the keys with the tide onto the beach with a change of the tide. Or whether the tide went out and revealed the keys. Random Beachwalker finds the keys, looks at the car park. Apparently, he knows a little bit about racing, adds one and one together and goes, that trainer by Brian, who won the Melbourne Cup, stables are just there. He'd drive a Lexus. I've got these Lexus keys. I'll email his stable and tell them that the Lexus keys have been deposited under the grill of the car. And a very grateful Danny O'Brien then retrieves the salty keys and drives off in his Lexus. And this man, there's two heroes in this story, O'Brien for saving the horse,
yes,
and the man for finding the keys.
That's a pretty good what the off the bench, Matthew Stewart Mitchell.
He's never welcome again on this program because he's
too good a what the?
He's trumped all of us to what the. See, the good thing about my car is you actually need the key. I'm Kenny O'Brien's got one of those electronic push.
We might have to. We might have to give you another call because you were sounding like a robot then, which is a little concerning.
A drowning robot.
Correct. He's 3-2-1 for the beer of the year, which is like his best on ground over the weekend. Geordie Childs for his ride on Rhinoceros last Wednesday.
Yep.
Incentivised Kits 2 and Annabelle Neesham, your friend, for being so open and accommodating to the media.
The niche. Richo sort of thought that was a bit... I thought the niche was just the automatic go-to.
Yeah, he might have been a little bit jealous that you've got a connection there with Annabelle Neesham.
She and I click. Yeah, we do get on.
Hey, Mitch, do you call Annabelle Neesham niche?
Yeah, she's a legend. She's an absolute legend.
Yeah.
You know, like, for someone who's started training out, and she's a really, really cool chick, and training hasn't changed her at all. And she really helps me out when I send horses up to Sydney and things like that. And, niche, legend.
G'day, Gareth. Can you ask Mitch Beer about LA Brew, where she will be likely to resume? That's from Shano.
From Shana. Well, I hope Shana's an owner because I can't be divulging this sort of information. But no, she's off to the jump house in a fortnight. Nice filly that. She'll go through her grade this prep for sure.
All of Mitch's Jimmy shoes turn into Dunlop volleys.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
like
very,
that.
Very good. Yeah, that's a fair roasting.
Can you please ask the Earl of Aubrey what his plans are for his 2-year-old speedster, Anime Key? That's from Susie Boy.
Speedster.
Is it Anne McKee?
Wouldn't have thought speedster, but
okay.
Yeah, no, not great there.
I think a few of their owners are asking us questions to ask Mitch. You've been lacking with your communication skills of late.
Well, I have been in Sydney for the weekend. We've been a bit lack on the My Stable report.
What about the Truckies Tucker box? Now, you went to Randwick on Saturday. Surely you found something there.
Well, we knew we were playing with the big boys when we went to Randwick. Scones, jam, cream, chicken and walnut sandwiches there at Randwick. A Group 1 feed for a Group 1 venue. But what came, Hawley, was I got steered into it. I'm a Golden Century man, much like many of our punters out there.
Yep.
Who loved a good post-Sydney races at Golden Century. Well, it's coronavirus gone defunct. And someone tipped me into one called the East Phoenix in Zetland. Mm-hmm. And rocked up to a shopping centre, had to go up an elevator, was looking very dicey, pretty bum steer. Absolutely outstanding.
Okay.
And it is a great Golden Century replacement.
Zetland is Weirdoville, I reckon. It's this strange little inner city joint that's emerged out of nowhere. It's almost like Pleasantville or the Truman Show. It's everything's so weirdly fake about Zetland. Hey, Mitchie,
not there wasabi beef, Matty.
Hey?
Real. Not their wasabi beef. It's as real as it comes.
Oh, Felgate and I went to a Japanese there a couple of years ago and it was regrettable.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Is Randwick...
Felgate. I wish I had a ticket for that show.
I reckon Randwick is a whopper. I don't understand Randwick. I don't understand the theatre of the horse, the tunnel underneath, the lack of a manning out at the front. They all just come back after a Group 1 and just sort of do their best. All these little Wabbit Warrens. Have you got your head around Randwick, Mitch?
Yeah, Matty, it's good. It's very good. The crowd, it's centred around a crowd. It's a very, very good atmosphere for people who don't go to the races every day, and ultimately they're the ones that go to carnivals.
If you lived in Wodonga and not Albury, you wouldn't be so parochial about it.
Don't do this. We're non-political on this show.
Yeah, I tell you what, you can't come in and be political and beer and Skittles, Matty. Are we allowed to read out that text, Mikey? Hey, Mitch, it's time for...
I'm going to bail.
To get on the
funny thing
beers.
Is I'm bailing because I'm doing a story bagging Peter Volandis.
Okay, time to get on the beers. We need a winner.
Yes,
definitely. That horse was pretty good the other day. You tipped there at Wagga, wherever it was on Saturday.
Which one did I tip last week? I think I ran second.
Yeah, it was close.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll follow him in. I'm going to back him up this Saturday with a set of shades on.
Yeah.
I thought he went good, but I thought there's improvement in. So we'll stick with Ring of Honor at Wagga, at Aubrey this Saturday in a Class 3 with the blinkers on.
How did Mitch go with the security tag on his jocks, or did he just rough it out and roll bareback?
not good. I didn't know of a pack. So I just had the air Fridays for Saturdays up in Sydney. It wasn't pretty.
The horse he tipped on Saturday wasn't a bad run. Never really got a good crack at them. But saying that, any chance of something that will repay the faithful this week, that's from Mick. We're going back to that same horse on Sunday. Good on you, Mick.
They're on the bridle this morning. They're a savage bunch.
Can you ask Mitch about Hardware Lane? That's from Tom.
Hardware Lane is as good a horse as I've ever had.
You said that last week about Ruby.
Well, she didn't get a crack at him, so I can stay undefeated. No, really, really nice horse. He won at Aubrey here by 6 or 7 lengths. He went down to Moonee Valley and ran midfield. He was disappointing. He pulled up a bit jarry in his knees. He's gone to the paddock, and he'll come back a very nice 3-year-old in the autumn.
Who wins the Cox Plate, Mitch?
I'm not getting off the Zaki train.
Love it. Did you miss the internationals there at Caulfield on Saturday?
Not interested in them.
Okay.
There's enough good horses here. There's a couple in the Cox Plate. They won't get warm. And we'll take out, the Aussies will take out all the main ones and no one will care less.
Love it. Good on you, Mitch. Enjoy your day. What are you doing today? Any stakes on offer?
Might play 9 holes this afternoon.
Don't lie. Good on you, Mitch. Mitch Beer with beer and Skittles on this Tuesday.